victims of the latest dance craze. The streamers choking the main arteries of downtown. The brass band led by a child from the home for the handicapped. The old men showing their hair, what's left of it. The buttons of their shirts popping in time to the salsa flooding out of their portable headphones. And mothers letting their babies be held by strangers. And the bus drivers taping over their fare boxes and willing to give directions. Is there any reason to mention all the drinks are on the house? Thick adolescent boys dismantle their BB guns. Here is the world, what's left of it, in brilliant motion. The oil slick at the curb dance into 1,000 splintered steps. The bag ladies toss off their garments to reveal wings. This dance you do, drawls the cop. What do you call it? We call it scalding the air. We call it dying with your shoes on. And across the street, the bodies of tramps stumble in a sober language. And across the street, shy young girls step behind their nameless boyfriends, twirling their skirts. And under an archway, a delivery boy discovers his body has learned to speak. And what does this street look like if not a runway, a polished wood floor? From the air, insects drawn by the sweat alight, when possible, on the blur of torsos. It is the ride of their tiny lives. The wind that burns their wings, the heaving, oblivious flesh, mountains stuffed with panic. They drop away with the scorched taste of vertigo. And under a swinging light bulb, some children invent a game with the shadow the bulb makes and the beat of their hearts. They call it dust in the mouth. They call it horse with no rider. They call it school with empty books. In the next room, their mother throws her dress away to chance. It drops to the floor like a breast size across a drumhead. And when she takes her lover, what are they thinking of if not a ballroom filled with mirrors? A world where no one has the right to stumble. In a parking lot, an old man says this: I am a ghost dance. I remember the way my hair felt damp with sweat and wind. When the wind kisses the leaves, I am dancing. When the subway hits the third rail, I am dancing. When the barrel goes over Niagara Falls, I am dancing. Music rings my bones like metal. Oh, jazz has come from heaven, he says. And at the Z, he jumps, arcing his back like a heron's neck, and stands suddenly revealed as a balance demon, a home for Stetson hats. We have all caught the itch. The neon artist wiring up his legs. The tourist couple recording the twist on their Instamatic camera. And in a factory, a janitor asked his broom for a waltz. and he grasped it like a woman he'd have to live another life to meet. And he spins around the dustbin and machines and thinks, is everybody happy? And he spins out the side door, avoiding the cracks in the sidewalk, grinning as if he just received the deepest kiss in the world. Thrift. What happens when an old black man, toothless and raggedy, walks into a bank, catches some young, white, middle manager's ear with a slurred tail of coins, hoarded from his wife and kids, who would only have spent them, leftovers from various hits on the numbers, plus God knows how many easy deceptions. If you were this man, what would you do with this true believer who has walked through the door of your bank, fired up with what he has pulled off, knowing that on some non-verbal level, he has encoded you or someone like you as kindred, that only you or someone like you could understand this type of fidelity? And somehow he guides you to the door, and through the glass you see the trunk of this man's car, my father's car. It springs low and sweep as the apricot sweetening on his tree at home. He wants to give you the weight he has built penny by penny. He wants you to lift away what you first thought of him, bag by precious bag. King Snake. Sometimes my daddy's young life would resemble something you'd hear in a Muddy Waters song. Like the time he found out that the local hospitals would pay good money for rattlesnakes in order to make anti-venom. Soon he had a penful. And I want to imagine my non-body, his yet-to-be, whispering careful in his ear as he seeks out his dangerous two bits. But he's young and reckless, and I know how he gets when he sees a way to make a buck. I suppose his name gets around West Florida because one day a white man drives up to the house and makes a better offer. $1 a snake. Of course he takes it, but when the white man who was only paying my father 50 cents shows up, he doesn't take kindly to the new arrangement. He curses my daddy out and threatens to return with the law. This is a story my father thinks is no big deal, really. Just the daily stuff he had to do to live down there. And I can see he's wondering why I want to make something of it. But when the white man comes back, hauling with him the sheriff, he gives me a description of my grandfather, a black man with a long handlebar mustache who owns his own land and holds a certain reputation. When angered, we both stammer. Unlike me, no one cares to get him to that point. This is proved by the way my father says the sheriff decides to handle the situation. When the car pulls up, my grandfather stands in the front door. Tall, stout, with Indian blood, no matter. He's a quiet black man on his own land. In the South, in the late 20s or early 30s, holding a shotgun, and saying nothing else. My father could never tell me what my grandfather did to earn this moment, what crazy, selfish, or fearful things came before that would lead the sheriff to side against the wounded pride of a white Southern man. And I want to yell as wind blowing dust across the front yard. Watch your step into their ear. But they both know more than I do that nothing's going to happen. That they're all going to let the poor, silly man yell until his face turns red and he simply runs out of breath and insults. My daddy will never be able to tell me what it was about my grandfather that tells the sheriff that this just ain't worth the dance. Or what it is in my sister that recalls my granddad to the relatives who knew him. When my daddy was a young boy, he played with rattlesnakes. Can't you just hear Muddy Water and Little Walter juking that out? So baby, I sure know how to handle you. I'm a fool to love you. Some folks will tell you the blues is a woman, some type of supernatural creature. My mother would tell you, if she could, about her life with my father, a strange and sometimes cruel gentleman. She would tell you about the choices a young black woman faces. Is falling in with some man a deal with the devil in blue terms, the tongue we use when we don't want nuance to get in the way, when we need to talk straight? My mother chooses my father after choosing a man who was, as we sing it, of no account. This man made my father look good. That's how bad it was. He made my father seem like an island in the middle of a stormy sea. He made my father look like a rock. And is the blues the moment you realize you exist in a stack deck? You look in a mirror at your young face, the face my sister carries, and you know it's the only leverage you've got. Does this create a hurt that whispers, "Ha, how you going to do? Is the blues the moment you shrug your shoulders and agree? A girl without money is nothing, dust to be pushed about by any old breeze. Compared to this, my father seems briefly to be a fire escape. This is the way the blues works its sorry wonders. Makes trouble look like a feather bed. Makes the wrong man's kisses a healing. Crows in a strong wind. Off go the crows from the roof. The crows can't hold on. They might as well be perched on an oil slick. Such an awkward dance. These gentlemen in their spottled black coats. Such a tipsy dance, as if they didn't know where they were. Such a humorous dance, as they try to set things right as the wind reduces them. Such a sorrowful dance. How embarrassing is love when it goes wrong in front of everyone. Intermission on East 7th Street. He says, "Save my life, buddy. Save my life, buddy. Save my life, buddy. I just got out of the hospital. I just got out of the hospital. They just let me out of the hospital. Hey! It's February in New York, and you can see I've got no money. You can tell by my style, I carry no visible means. And it's February in New York. Hey, it's cold, and I don't want to work. You know what they expect for small change. It's snowing, it's cold, but it must be hot for you. You and those fine ladies you're walking with. Hey! Save my life, buddy. I ain't no actor doing this for a poster. You know what I am. The city knows what I am. I just got out. A little bread will change you. I want money. Who doesn't? But I ain't a crook. I'm sick of it. I want a hold on my life. I'm sick of it. I want a hold on my life. I'm sick of it. I want a hold on my life. These are some excerpts from a long poem called The Sheets of Sound. We're only going to do 5 sections of it. 1. Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's about John Coltrane, and it's about that period, that moment John Coltrane when he starts going to that really spiritual part of his career, the end part of his career. 1. He says, "What do I have to lose? actually, by coming right out and saying what I mean to say, like this, and like this, and like this, breathing rickety steps to the heart of the matter, loose a black spirit around the joint. Mr. Coltrane floating a line like this, pushing its muscle, hell discovering its sweet worth, the sweet worth of pushing any damn wall. This is a necessary lesson. You can make an art out of sailing right over the top. Spin a heart clean, if only for these brief seconds. Close the world, its silly wounds and hard manners, with a yell. I hear you push it. A quote, a necessary lesson. There are gifts, aren't there? You ask, what do I have to lose if I come right out and test it? Peel back the romance. Surely this love I hear you say, this sort of love will ruin me. A wonder operates here, pushes away the damn wall as you leap, dresses the shadows in the corners of the room, speaks for you. Freezes up your throat, opens. How many times can you do this? Push your losses open, map the blues' currents. I hear what if color the air with the danger. A man who gives himself a right to speak. A fine spray of what he knows, of where he's been, what has happened to him. An axe which cuts impatient, a loud humility, a spiritual science. Hear it? In the skirt of the fine African-American mother. Hear it in the squeezed life of the black civil servant. Ask the harlequin or the man with the jackal's face. Ask the schoolgirl sharpening a mental knife, or the king of the margins with the strength of nations etched by minimum wages, or little Johnny Volcano spacing in and out of whatever world will have him, or long, tall, cool, who sparks up only after he falls away his chauffeur's uniform, the dark scholar obscured by his teeth, diminished each time he laughs. A fine spray of what goes on, who gets swallowed, who takes it, who jumps. A concentration of who gives in, who shakes it off. A fine spray of what it might sound like if they could open their lives, if they could blow it out. I hear proof, survival, take a verse. I hear proof, survival, take a verse. I hear proof, survival, take a verse. I hear proof, claim, swing, associate itself. I hear proofs, declare, the outer layer slough off. I hear proof beat, its wide fingers roll seconds on its tips. I hear proof laugh, a deep glide from the stomach's pit. This is who I am, and this is who I am, and this is who I am. I hear proof's river, the deep bass spring which feeds it, the trance of keyboard light upon water. I hear proof's memory, a torch of calf skins lighting a cave. This is who I am, and this is who I am, and this is who I am. I hear proof gather the sweet, sour berries of its name. I hear proof, survival, take a verse. I hear proof, survival, take a verse. I hear proof, survival, take a verse. I try to imagine that first attempt on the bandstand. Try to figure how that first breath grew wild, troubled the curb of the mouthpiece. Chance's sweet flavor as he leaned toward the microphone. What would you do if a man fell to the ground and in that moment decided that this act was song, decided as he fell not to mind the falling, to name it something else. Think of it, both of you locked in that first grand inarticulate slur. What to say to a man who is shredding decorum, blowing it across the club in streamers? Imagine this spectacle as it shakes down the slant of those first notes, the announcement as it bumbles against I heard a story once, told on Miles Davis and the young pup, John Coltrane, who was seeking out the master's wisdom, sort of sitting at his feet, so to speak. And he asked Mr. Davis to reveal to him the secret of how to finish a solo. And Miles sort of grunts like a Baptist mother, and he tells Coltrane, take the damn horn out of your mouth. False arrest. What seemed to have bothered him the most, after it was done, and he began to recreate his story for the TV reporter, in front of the same park bench where he had first seen the pair of cops that would, when he approached them to ask directions, look him over and see what? Grab him and cuff him and whisk him to a hospital, dope him, and then let him go the next morning, innocent. What seemed to have broken him was the second he realized something had gone wrong or too far, and all that would be left was the right to see the moment fall, taking him with it, mouth agape perhaps, the way a trout caught swallows that first painful cup of air, a taut desire pulling its jaw towards what it never dreamed it could taste. The cops scuffle and tug him towards their squad car. A small crowd gathers and hoots. And suddenly, he looks dead at the camcorder. The moment becomes private, as if we were sitting with him in a doctor's office, surrounded by the blossoms of his small complaints, things he should have paid attention to sooner than this. A professional but disinterested prognostist cutting him away. Dance. When the world ends, I will be in a red dress. When the world ends, I will be in a smoky bar on Friday night. When the world ends, I will be a thought cloud. When the world ends, I will be steam in a tea kettle. When the world ends, I will be a sunbeam through a lead window, and I will shake like the semis on the interstate, and I will shake like the tree kissed by lightning, and I will move, the earth will move too, and I will move, the cities will move too, and I will move with the remains of my last paycheck in my pocket. It will be Friday night, and I will be in a red dress, my feet relieved of duty, my body in free fall, loose as a ballerina in zero gravity, equal at last with feathers and dust. As the world faints and tumbles down the stairs, the jukebox is overtaken at last, and the cicadas under the eaves warm up their legs. three poems from a cycle I've been working on called Brutal Imagination. And it's the speaker in the poem is the imaginary black man that Susan Smith claimed kidnapped her babies. He lived for about 9 days before she finally confessed, so I'm giving him those 9 days of existence. Anyway, we're going to do three poems from that section, that group. How I Got Born. It's a common belief that Susan Smith willed me alive at the moment her babies sank into the lake. When called, I come. My job is to get things done. I am piecemeal. I make my living by taking things. So now a mother needs me clothed and hand-me-downs and a knit cap. Whatever. We arrive. Baby, they weep. Poor child. My heart. Susan Smith has invented me. Because nobody else in town will do what she needs me to do. I mean, jump in an idling car and drive off with two sad and frightened kids in the back. Like a bad lover, she has given me a poisoned heart. It pounds both our ribs, black, angry, nothing but business. Since her fear is my blood, and her need part mythical, everything she says about me is true. Who am I? Who are you, mister? One of the boys asked from the eternal backseat. And here is the one good thing. If I am alive, then so briefly are they. Two boys returned, three and one, quiet and scared, bunched together, breathing like small beasts. They can't place me, yet there's something familiar. Though my skin and sex is different, maybe it's the way I drive or occasionally glance back with concern. Maybe it's the mixed blessing someone, perhaps circumstance, has given us. the secret thrill of hiding, childish, in plain sight, seen but not seen, as if suddenly given the power to move through walls, to know every secret without permission. We roll sleepless through the dark streets, but inside the cab is lit with brutal imagination. Chitlins. According to the chef at this small restaurant with his hazy view of the Pyrenees, Dizzy ate 9 more of these than I will tonight. It must have reminded him of home, I think, whenever he passed through the play the summer jazz festival in a neighboring town and assured him that he wasn't. And when the dish arrives, hot, pungent, its workings disguised in mustard, cuisine instead of what's left. I thought of a friend who might have said, when my nose reminds my brain of what I swallow, now taste where you're from. And the sight of the man waving for another plate, the insulting stuff turns sweet, digestible jazz. Is Chuck Berry. If I can find it. Chuck Berry. Hamburger wizard. Loose limb instigator. V8 engine purring for a storm. The evidence of a tight skirt viewed from the window of a moving city bus. Yelling her name, a spell into the glass. The amazing leap from nobody to stockholder. Look, ba, no hands, piped through a hot amp. Figure skater on the rim of the invisible class wall. The strength of the dreamer who wakes up and it's Monday, a week of work, but gets out of bed. The unsung desire of the checkout clerk. The sharps of the sleepy backwater town waiting for the kid to make good, the chauffeur home. The twang of the New Jersey Turnpike in the wee, wee hours. The myth of the lover as he passes blameless through the wall. The fury hidden in the word almost. The fury hidden in the word please. The dream of one's name and lights, of sending the posse on the wrong trail, shaking the wounded Indian's hand, a brother. The pulse of a crowd knowing that the police have pushed in the door, dancing regardless. The frenzy of the word go. The frenzy of the word go. The frenzy of the word go. The spark between the thought of the kiss and receiving the kiss. The tension in these words, you can't dance. The amazing duck walk. The understanding that all it's going to take is one fast song. The triumph in these words, bye-bye New Jersey, as if rising from a shallow grave. The soda jerk who plots doo-wop songs. The well-intentioned business school student who does what she's told, suspects they're keeping it hid. Mr. Rock and Roll, jump over or get left behind. Mr. Taxes, who, me, Money beat, money beat, you can't catch me, but they do. A perpetual well of quarters in the pocket, the incalculable hit of energy in the voice of a 16-year-old as her favorite band hits the stage. And 10,000 pairs of eyes look for what they're after. More. And 10,000 voices roar for it. More. And a multitude you couldn't care the count surrounds the joint, waits for their opportunity to break in.